created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a string. And every string is in the hellfire. Continuing with the purification of the souls, we were on the series of the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last week we had took a break from that series and went over a few of the adhkar of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we say throughout the day. And today we're going to take another break. I wasn't feeling that good. So we're going to turn to the finest book, inshallah, written on the issue of purifying the souls and doing that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Riyad al-Salihin, or Gardens of the Righteous, as they say in English, written by Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, who died 676 Hijra, and we're at the Kitab Adab al-Ta'am, or the book, The Etiquettes of Eating. The book of Etiquettes of Eating. As Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah here in this book is showing us chapter by chapter the etiquettes of eating as explained by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. The first chapter that the Shaykh brings rahimahullah is Bab al-Tasmiya fi awwalihi walhamdi fi akhirihi. Chapter saying Bismillah in the beginning of eating and Alhamdulillah at the end of eating, and he brings the hadith of Umar ibn Abi Salama radiallahu anhuma qala li Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Samillah wa kul bi yameenik wa kul mimma yaleek. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I command you to say Bismillah and eat with your right hand, and eat that which is closest to you. Say Bismillah, eat with your right hand, and eat that which is closest to you. And this hadith is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. In the next hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا أَكَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَذْكُرِ اسْمَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَإِنْ نَسِيَ أَنْ يَذْكُرَ اسْمَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي أَوَّلِهِ فَلْيَقُلْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ أَوَّلَهُ وَآخِرَهُ. And this is collected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if one of you eats, then he should remember the name of Allah Ta'ala. And whoever forgets the name of Allah Ta'ala in the beginning, then he should say, Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu. Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu. In the name of Allah, in the beginning or in the end. Tafadda ya akhi. And the next hadith collected by Imam Muslim, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, has said on the authority of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا دخل الرجل بيته فذكر الله تعالى عند دخوله وعند طعامه قال الشيطان لأصحابه لا مبيت لكم ولا عشاء وإذا دخل فلم يذكر اسم الله تعالى عند دخوله قال الشيطان أدركتم المبيت وإذا لم يذكر الله تعالى عند طعامه قال أدركتم المبيت والعشاء. And this is collected by Imam Muslim. وجابر رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said that I heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, if a man enters his house and remembers Allah when he enters his house and when he eats, then shaytan says to his companions, la mabita wa la asha, and that means Let's see. Excuse me, I gotta get another book here. Allah says, if one of you enters his house and he remembers Allah Ta'ala when he enters the house and when he eats, then Shaytan says to his companions, then you have no place here, or there is no place here for you, and there is no food for you, or there is no meal for you. And if one of you enters his house and does not remember Allah Ta'ala when he's entering, then Shaytan says, you have a place here. And if you don't remember Allah Ta'ala's name when you eat your food, then he says, you have a place here and a meal to eat. And this is collected by Imam Muslim. And the next hadith, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam says, and this is on the authority of Umayyah ibn Makhshi al-Sahabi radiyallahu anhu qala kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam jalisan wa rajulun ya'kulu falam yusammi allaha hatta lam yabqa min ta'amihi illa luqma falamma rafa'aha ila fihi qala bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu fadahika an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thumma qala ma zala shaytanu ya'kulu ma'ahu falamma dhakara ismallahi istaqa'a ma fi batnihi. And this is collected by Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i, where Umayyah ibn Makhshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting down and a man was eating, and he didn't remember or he didn't mention Allah's name by saying Bismillah until there was only just a small morsel of food left, and then before he raised it up to his mouth, he said Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu, or Bismillah from the beginning and the end. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughed and then said that Shaytan was eating with you until you remembered Allah's name, then he threw up with that which was in his stomach. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in these few hadith is showing us the importance of saying Bismillah when we begin eating, and if we forget to say it when we begin eating, then before we finish we should say Bismillah so that the Shaytan has no portion of the halal food that we eat. And the next hadith, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam says on the authority of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam yakulu ta'aman fi sittatin min ashabi faja'a a'rabiyun faakala bi luqmataini فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما إنه لو سمى لكفاكم. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم was eating food with six of his companions, and then a desert Arab came, or a Bedouin came, and ate two pieces of food. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if he would have said Bismillah, then it would have been sufficient for all of you. So here we even see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing just the importance of even one person mentioning the Basmala before we eat our food. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this next hadith, reported on the authority of Abi Umama radiallahu anhu, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana idha rafa'a ma'idatahu qala alhamdulillahi hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi ghayra makfiyin wala mustaghnan anhu rabbana. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari. And here Abi Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would raise out his plate or the table spread, he would say, Alhamdulillah, hamdan kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan fi, ghayra makfiyan, wala mustagnan anhu rabbana. That the Prophet ﷺ would say, Alhamdulillah, and the translation of that is, Alhamdulillah, with a lot of good, blessed praise in that saying of Alhamdulillah. غير مكفيا ولا مستغنى عنه ربنا. And Allah knows best to how you translate that. In the next hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من أكل طعاما فقال الحمد لله الذي أطعمني هذا ورزقنيه من غير حول مني ولا قوة غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. That whoever says when he eats his food, when he's finished his food, Alhamdulillah, who has fed me this and provided me with this without any might or any power from myself, then he will have all of his past sins forgiven. And that's collected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi. And that had already passed in our class on how to get your sins forgiven by making this dua at the end of eating your food. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he brings in his next chapter, Babu la yu'ibu ta'ama wastihbabi madhi. The chapter, do not criticize the food in a bad way, and the virtues or the encouragement of praising the food. And the first hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, ma aaba rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ta'aman qattu in ishtahahu akalahu wa in karihahu tarakahu. And this is collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim. Wa Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never criticized food ever before. If he liked it, he ate it, and if he didn't like it, he left it alone. And we have other hadith collected by Imam Muslim on the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhu, anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sa'ala ahlahu al-adma faqalu ma 'indana illa khal fada'a bihi faja'ala ya'kulu wa yaqulu ni'mal udmu al-khal. And this is collected by Imam Muslim, where Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his wife for some something that you put on top of the food to make it taste better, like ketchup or mayonnaise or salad dressing or what have you. And they said that we don't have anything except vinegar. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bring me the vinegar. And he said, this is the best thing that I could put on my food to make it taste better. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would praise the food. And in the first hadith we saw that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not criticize the food. The next chapter that the Imam brings, rahimahullah, is Babu ma yaquluhu man hadara ta'am wa huwa sa'im idha lam yuftir. The chapter that what you should say when food is brought to you while you're fasting and you're not going to break your fast. On the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دعى أحدكم فليجب فإن كان فليجب فإن كان صائما فليصلي وإن كان مفطرا فليطعم. And this is collected by Imam Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if any one of you are invited, then I command him to accept the invitation. And if he is fasting, then let him make dua for the people who have invited him. And if he is not fasting, then let him eat from the food that he has been invited to partake in. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam is encouraging us to accept the invitations when people extend them, when the Muslims extend them to us, and to make dua for them if we're fasting, and to eat the food if we're not fasting. The next chapter that the Shaykh brings, rahimahullah, babu ma yaquluhu man du'a ila ta'amin fatabi'ahu ghayruhu. The chapter, what do you say if you have been invited to some food and someone else follows you.
عن أبي مسعود البدري رضي الله عنه قال دعا رجل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لطعام صنعه له خامس خمسة فتبعهم رجل فلما بلغ الباب قال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن هذا تبعنا فإن شئت أن تأذن له وإن شئت رجع قال بل آذن له يا رسول الله. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Here Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said that a man invited the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to some food that he had prepared, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the fifth person of the five of them, and another man followed them. So when they got to the door, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed this person has followed us. If you like, you can allow him or give him permission to come with us, and if you like, then he'll go back. And he said, rather, ya Rasulullah, I'm going to invite him. So we see from this hadith that if you are not invited and you invite yourself, then the person has the choice to either extend the invitation to you or to let you go back, and both of those are perfectly permissible and there's no harm in that. And we also see from this hadith a virtue from among the virtues of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they were always quick to doing that which would be better, of course, by allowing the person to take part of the invitation even though he wasn't invited. The next chapter that the Shaykh brings, rahimahullah, باب الأكل مما يليه ووعظه وتأذيبه من يسيء أكله. The chapter, eating that which is closest to you, and exhorting or advising and teaching the manners of the one who doesn't eat properly or has bad manners, bad eating habits. This is on the authority of Umar ibn Abi Salama radiallahu anhu. قال كنت غلاما في حجر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكانت يدي تطيش في الصحفة فقال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا غلام سم الله تعالى وقل بيمينك وكل مما يليك. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. Omar ibn Abi Salama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that I was a boy under the guardianship of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or in the household of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and my hand used to be reaching all over the plate. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, ya ghulam, O little boy, say bismillah, eat with your right hand and eat that which is closest to you. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us, if we see someone who doesn't know the etiquettes of eating, then we should advise them how to eat properly. And that is to say bismillah, to eat that which is closest to him, and to eat with his right hand. And the next hadith on the authority of Salama ibn al-Aqwa' رضي الله عنه أن رجلا أكل عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بشماله فقال كل بيمينك قال لا أستطيع قال لا استطعت ما منعه إلا الكبر فما رفعها إلى فيه. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. Imam Muslim. عن سلمة بن الأكوع رضي الله عنه, he said that a man was eating with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم with his left hand. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, eat with your right hand. He said, I'm not able to. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, making a dua against him, you'll never be able to. Nothing prevented him from raising his right hand to his mouth except arrogance. So he was not able to raise his hand up to his mouth. And also in the narrations of this person, and I forget his name right now, that he died as a kafir and he was never able for the rest of his life to put his right hand up to his mouth. for disobeying the commandment of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by not eating with his right hand. And in this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see, other than the virtue of just eating with our right hand, we see the answering of the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he made dua against this man, never to have his right hand be raised up to his mouth. And his right hand was never raised up to his mouth, and he died as a kafir because his arrogance prevented him from obeying the commandment of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this should be a warning to us to be the last people to disobey the commandments of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it may befall us that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned for those who disobey Allah and His Messenger, as Allah states in Surah Al-Jinn, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, indeed for him is the blazing fire of Jahannam, abiding there and forever. So here we see also the warning of disobeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it may befall us that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in this ayah for those who disobey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we make the dua that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught us, Allahumma musarrif al-qulub, sarrif qulubana ala ta'atika. Oh, the one who changes the hearts, musarrif al-qulub, change our hearts to obedience to you. The next chapter that the Shaykh brings باب النهي عن القران بين تمرتين ونحوهما إذا أكل جماعة إلا بإذن رفقته. Chapter, the prohibition of combining two dates together or something similar to dates when we are eating as a group, except by the permission of those who are with you. And the first hadith he brings is the hadith of Jabalat ibn Suhaim, qala asabana amu sana ma'abni Zubair faruziqna tamran وكان عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما يمر بنا ونحن نأكل فيقول لا تقارنوا فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن القران ثم يقول إلا أن يستأذن الرجل أخاه. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Jabala ibn Suhaim radiallahu anhu, he said that we were faced with a year of no crops are growing. Famine or a drought. We were faced with a famine or a drought, and we were with Ibn Zubair. Then afterwards, Allah had provided us with tamar or dates. And then Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went past us while we were eating, and he said, do not eat with two dates or more together at the same time, as indeed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has prohibited the eating of two dates at the same time. And then he said, except with the permission of a man, except with a man asking the permission of his brother. So here we see in this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a part of the etiquettes of eating, if we're eating in a group, not to take more than one of the piece of food that is there. For example, if we had a group of dates and all of us were eating, that each person should only take one at a time and eat one at a time, unless he asks the people that he was with, is it okay that I take three of them or two of them or so on. The same thing if we had grapes, or if apples were cut up, or oranges, or whatever, were cut up and placed on the tray, then no one should take more than one at a time, except that they are given permission by the group, as the Prophet ﷺ had prohibited us from taking more than one at a time, except with the permission of the group. The next chapter is بَابُ مَا يَقُولُهُ وَيَفْعَلُهُ مَنْ يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يَشْبَعُ. the chapter What Do You Say and What Do You Do When You Eat and You're Not Full. عن وحشي بن حرب رضي الله عنه أن أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قالوا يا رسول الله إنا نأكل ولا نشبع قال فلعلكم تفترقون قالوا نعم قال فاجتمعوا على طعامكم واذكروا اسم الله يبارك لكم فيه. And this is collected by Abu Dawood, where Wahshi ibn Harb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Rasulallah, we eat but we don't get full. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, maybe you all are eating individually. And the Prophet, so they said yes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should eat your food together. Remember Allah's name, because this will make your food blessed for you. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us the blessings of eating together. And that if we eat together, our food will be blessed and our food will fill us and be more and sufficient for us if we eat it together as opposed to eating it separately. So this is among the etiquettes of eating, is that it's better for us that we eat as a group. And especially in our houses, we should teach our families to serve our food together so that we can eat our food as a group, because our food will be blessed if we eat it as a group, and then we wouldn't be complaining that we eat and we don't get full. And also, this is for us who have smaller pockets or smaller incomes, that if we want our food to go a longer way, then we can have with our family to eat it together instead of eating it individually, and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name so that He can bless us in the food that we have, no matter how little it is. باب الأمر بالأكل من جانب القصعة والنهي عن الأكل من وسطها. The chapter, the commandment of eating from the side of the plate, and the prohibition from eating in the middle of the plate. First, the Shaykh reminds us of the hadith that we have been mentioning, and eat that which is closest to you. Shows that we shouldn't be reaching into the middle of the plate, but to be eating from the side of the plate, from that which is closest to us. And then he brings the hadith of Abu Dawood in At-Tirmidhi on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال البركة تنزل وسط الطعام فكلوا من حافتيه ولا تكلوا من وسطه. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم says that the blessings are in the middle of the plate, in the middle of the food. So I command you to eat from the sides of the food, and do not eat from the middle of the food. So here the Messenger of Allah ﷺ is showing us, if we have our plate of food, that we should be eating that which is closest to us from the side, working our way inward, and not reaching in and eating from the middle of the plate. The next chapter that the Shaykh mentions, rahimahullah, Babu Karahiyatul Aklu Muttaki'an. The chapter, the prohibition of eating while we are leaning or in a reclining position. And he brings the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari on the authority of Abi Juhayfa. Wahb ibn Abdillah radiallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la akulu muttaki'an. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I do not eat while I'm leaning or reclining. So here Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he's showing, as many of the ulama do, as the Prophet ﷺ didn't say that I prohibit you from eating while you are in a reclining position, but that the Prophet ﷺ said, I don't eat while I'm in a reclining position, and this shows that it is discouraged or makruh, and it doesn't necessarily show that it is prohibited. that if the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just doesn't do something, then that thing is at least discouraged, because the finest guidance is the guidance of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the best example is the example of the Messenger of Allah Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, where nothing has been prohibited to us except that which the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prohibited to us. Unless if he didn't do something, that other texts from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, or other texts from the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, show that not only did the Prophet not do that thing, but that he, by not doing it, had informed us and we understood that that thing was a prohibition, like we were mentioning in the other week's class, that if we were invited to someone's house and they have pictures hanging in their houses, that the Prophet ﷺ never entered into the houses that had pictures hanging in it. That the Prophet ﷺ didn't prohibit the entering of the houses. It just mentions that he didn't enter the houses that had pictures hanging. But we saw from the understanding of the companions of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ and the people who came after them, that they understood that the Prophet ﷺ didn't go in there, showing the prohibition of going in there. So if the Prophet ﷺ just left it as he didn't do something, and no one from among the companions of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ or any other text show that that thing has been prohibited, then that thing is just discouraged, because the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it, and that which has been prohibited to us is that which the Prophet ﷺ has prohibited, or that which is understood from that which the Prophet ﷺ did to be prohibited to us. And I hope that that's clear, inshallah ta'ala. The next chapter is the chapter باب الاستحباب الأكل بثلاث أصابع واستحباب لعق الأصابع وكراهة مسحها قبل لعقها واستحباب لعق القصعة وأخذ اللقمة التي تسقط منه وأقلها ومسحها بعد اللعق بالساعد والقدم وغيرها. And this is the chapter, the encouragement of eating with three fingers, the encouragement of licking our fingers, the discouragement of wiping our fingers off before we lick them, the encouragement of licking the plate, and picking up the morsels of food that fall off the plate and eating them. And there's something that I don't understand in the latter part of the chapter, and we'll see it from the hadith, inshallah ta'ala. The first hadith, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أكل أحدكم طعاما فلا يمسح أصابعه حتى يلعقها أو يلعقها. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari, a Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, if one of you eats some food, then do not wipe your fingers until you lick them or you have them licked. So here we see some of the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that we shouldn't wipe our fingers until we lick them first, or we have someone else lick our fingers, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has advised us. I think all of us are alike, and this is one of the reasons I chose this chapter of the etiquettes of eating, because we thought that the etiquettes that we were raised on were the finest etiquettes of eating, until the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have brought to us etiquettes of eating that are finer than any other etiquettes. And whenever we hear what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brings us as his guidance, then we should know that there is no guidance that's going to be finer than the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the next hadith, عن كعب بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأكل بثلاث أصابع فإذا فرغ لعقها. And this is collected by Imam Muslim. وكعب بن مالك رضي الله عنه, he said that I saw the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم eating with three fingers. And when he finished, he licked all of them. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself, he used to eat with three fingers, and that he used to lick them when he finished, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this hadith is collected by Imam Muslim. The next narration on Jabir radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam amara bila'q al-asabi'i was-sahfa wa qala innakum la tadruna fi ayyi ta'amikum al-baraka. And this is collected by Imam Muslim, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded to lick the licking of the fingers and the plate. And then he said, indeed, none of you know where the blessings of the food are at, or where your blessings from this food are at. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah not only advised us or commanded us to lick our fingers when we eat, but commanded us to lick the plates also. And that we shouldn't look at this, that if we finish eating by licking our fingers and then licking the plate, to look at that the way that we used to look at it through the eyes of the kuffar. But we should look at it through the eyes of Islam, and that it's blessed. And I remember, you know, that this isn't a common sight, unfortunately. And من رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. And that whoever is opposed to my sunnah, or is displeased with my sunnah, or tries to go an opposite route of my sunnah, then he is not from among me. And that I remember before seeing somebody licking the plate like that, and it looked kind of strange. But we should just say Alhamdulillah, as that person is getting the blessings of the food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have provided them with. And we should also know that though we have difficulty trying to leave that kufr and to accept this Islam, that our children have less difficulty than we have if we raise them on Islam. That they won't find any difficulty in licking their fingers or licking the plates, as you would establish the sunnah in your house. And your children, all they know is what they see from you. So when they see that people don't lick their fingers and people don't lick their plate, they look at them like something was wrong with them. Are they Muslims, Abi? Because they know this is the etiquette of the Muslims. And whenever they see the children, they see other people doing other than what the Muslims do, then it would naturally come to them in the land of kufr that those people must be kuffar. Because the children don't know yet that they are Muslims who don't like to practice Islam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the next hadith said, إِذَا وَقَعَتْ لُقْمَةُ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلْيَأْخُذْهَا فَلْيُمِطْ مَا كَانَ بِهَا مِنْ أَذَى وَلْيَأْكُلْهَا وَلَا يَدَعْهَا لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلَا يَمْسَحْ يَدَهُ بِالْمِنْدِيلِ حَتَّى يَلْعَقَ أَصَابِعَهُ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي فِي أَيِّ طَعَامِهِ الْبَرَكَةِ. And this is collected by Imam Muslim. But the Prophet ﷺ said, if a piece of your food falls, then pick it up. Wipe off whatever dirt or whatever got on it, and then eat it. And don't leave it for the shaitan. And don't wipe your hands with a napkin until you lick your fingers first. Because indeed you do not know in what part of your food is the blessing. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us that which we used to know when we were younger, that God made dirt and dirt don't hurt. That the Prophet ﷺ taught us, if the food falls, to pick it up, wipe it off, and eat it. And I remember, it's funny what you remember, like yesterday when we had got to Medina, and it was a group of us, and some of the brother had some children, and they had bought some lollipops, and the children dropped it, and they said, oh, Abi, I dropped mine, go get me another one. So, you know, they went to get another one, and the other children were just saying, haram, haram, haram. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. You're leaving that for the shaitan. So they picked it up, got a glass of water, poured it over the lollipop, and ate it right away. You can imagine us looking at it. You know, we didn't know Islam. We just accepted Islam. And all we know, if something, you drop it, it get dirty, throw it away and buy a new one. But here these children were actually practicing the Islam that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left for humanity. And that we should teach our children to do that. That if they drop some food, that if it could be clean in the house, it can be cleaned off and then eaten, to teach our children not to waste our food and not to leave any leftover food for the shaitan. And that we don't know where the blessings are in our food, and that we could be throwing our blessings away instead of eating them. So these are some of the etiquettes that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, and it may seem strange in the beginning, but if we practice it and teach our children it, for sure when the next generation is raised, that which we saw to be difficult or strange or out of place from the finest guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it would shortly become a part of our lives and the lives of our children, inshallah ta'ala. And the next hadith, also collected by Imam Muslim, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna shaytana yahdur ahadakum 'inda kulli shay'in min sha'nihi hatta yahduruhu 'inda ta'amihi fa idha saqatat luqmatu ahadikum falyakhudhha falyumit ma kana biha min adha thumma liya'kulha wa la yada'aha lish-shaytani fa idha faragha falyal'aq أصابعه فإنه لا يدري في أي طعامه البركة." And this is also collected by Imam Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows us, indeed shaitan, he is present with one of you on all of your affairs, even when you're eating. So when a piece of food drops, you should pick it up, wipe it off, then eat it, and don't leave it for the shaitan. And when you finish, you should lick your fingers, because you don't know at what part of your food is the blessing. Here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us that jahiliyyah of thinking that it's funny to pick something up and eat it, that jahiliyyah is actually from the shaitan. He's just there while we're eating our food, telling you, throw it away, let me get it. Yes. The brother's asking, suppose you drop a whole plate of food on the floor by accident, then what do you do? We see that the Prophet ﷺ here, he said, if a piece of food drops off, then pick it up and wipe it off and then eat it. If it's possible to wipe it off and eat it, then you'll do that. But sometimes it's not possible, depending on what you're eating. Maybe it's a soup or something. How are you going to mop it up and just squeeze it out the mouth? You know, so it depends on the type of food that you're eating. If there's a possibility of wiping it off, then you wipe it off and then eat it. But not all food that you have the opportunity to actually wipe it off. So there would just be a mistake, and inshallah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will overlook our mistakes. Yeah, we quoted quite a few of them. Most of them were from Sahih Muslim, though.
But no, this one is specifically
the Prophet. Yeah, I'm saying there was a few of those, and they were mostly in Sahih Muslim.
Yes.
Also, this is a point to add. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat with three fingers. I heard the Shaykh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani explaining, when he was in Saudi Arabia, one of the wealthy Muslim countries where food is wasted, like it's wasted here among the American Muslims, that Al-Albani said that eating with three fingers could be eating with a spoon or a fork. That if you hold the spoon or the fork with three fingers, that you're actually eating with three fingers, even though you're using the spoon, and that this would be
good for the person who would waste his food by using his fingers and letting his food drop everywhere and not eating them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The brother asks, should you still lick your fingers after you use the fork? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to lick our fingers. We should lick our fingers, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had encouraged us. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طعام الاثنين كافي الثلاثة وطعام الثلاثة كافي الأربع. Tells us, إذا أمرتكم بأمر فأتوا منه ما استطعتم. If I have commanded you to do something, then do it as much as you're able to. If I command you to do something, then do it as much as you're able to. So as much as we're able to lick our fingers, then we should do it as the Prophet ﷺ has commanded us. And this is in general for the commandments of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, that as much as we're able to do it, then we should do so. At what point can food that has been stored away be discarded, such as bread or fruit? This is a question from the sisters, and I would say ask the sisters. As I don't know how long the food should go before it's no good. But we should, as Muslims, take advantage of eating our food before it goes bad, so we don't have to discard any of our food, inshallah ta'ala. The next hadith that Imam An-Nawawi brings, rahimahullah, is the hadith of Jabir رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول طعام الواحد يكفي الاثنين وطعام الاثنين يكفي الأربعة وطعام الأربعة يكفي الثمانية. And this is collected by Imam Muslim, where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the food for one is sufficient for two, and that the food for two is sufficient for four, and that the food for four is sufficient for eight. Here we see from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the food is always sufficient for the believer. That whatever we get from the food, inshallah ta'ala, that it will be sufficient for us, and we'd say bismillah and alhamdulillah at the end of our food. The next chapter that the Shaykh brings, hafidhullah, rahimahullah, Babu adab al-shurbi wa istihbab al-tanaffusi thalathan kharij al-ina wa kirahatu al-tanaffusi fil-ina wa istihbab idarat al-ina'i ala al-ayman fal-ayman ba'd al-mubtadi. And this word al-mubtadi here is referring to the one who begins. It's with a hamza and not with ayn, al-mubtadi'a, which is the deviant, and al-mubtadi is the beginner. Here he brings the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Anas, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yatanaffasu fi al-sharabi thalathan, and this is collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take three breaths outside of the glass that he was drinking in, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank, that he would take three breaths outside of the glass, alayhi salatu wa sallam. The next hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la tashrabu wahidan kashurb al-ba'ir walakin ishrabu mathna wa thulath wasammu idha antum sharibtum وَأَحْمَدُوا إِذَا أَنْتُمْ رَفَعْتُمْ. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi. Let's skip that hadith. I forgot that that hadith is daif and not authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's hadith 758. And that goes for the English translation also. Yes.
I don't fully understand when you take three breaths outside the glass. I mean, three at once before he started drinking, or when he drinks, stop, take a breath, drink, stop.
When you're drinking,
Alright, you can start drinking first.
Yeah.
Alright, when you take a breath, the Prophet ﷺ used to take three breaths. Drink a little. Drink a little like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Abi Qatada, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam naha an yutanaffasa fil ina, and this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited blowing in our cups or breathing in the cups. And that is that when we drink, when we drink, we don't breathe in the cup that we drink, but we take the cup away from our mouths and then we take our breaths. And this is also to show that if we're drinking tea and the tea is too hot, not to blow in it, to cool it off, but to just be patient until the tea cools off and then drink it. And then when you put the cup down, then to take your breath, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. The next hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is on the authority of Anas, Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, utiya bi labanin qad shiba bi ma'in. وعن يمينه أعرابي وعن يساره أبو بكر رضي الله عنه فشرب ثم أعطى الأعرابي وقال الأيمن فالأيمن. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Here Anas says رضي الله تعالى عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was brought some leaven, and some people call it buttermilk, that was mixed with water. And there was a desert Bedouin Arab on the right of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Abu Bakr, the best of this ummah after the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on his left. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drank and then gave it to the Bedouin Arab, and then he said, "The right, the right." And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and we see a lot of benefits in this hadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That firstly we see that the companions of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they weren't wasteful, and that they didn't have a lot, and that they weren't ashamed to give the little that they have, as we see that they mix water with the buttermilk in order to make it stretch a little so that they can give it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. Yes. Yeah, I heard something like that. Yeah, I don't know. More than what I brought today. Also we see from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he gave the drink to the person on the right of him. And that whenever we're passing around, whatever we're passing around in the gathering, that we pass it around to the right. Even if there's someone in the gathering who has more virtues than the other people in the gathering, that it goes to the person on the right first and not to anyone else other than that. And this point we have to understand, as this is from the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to overlook everybody's customs. Because people and their customs, they think that it's more proper to give it to the person who they feel to be more virtuous or righteous, or the one with the most status or position or power, that he gets it first, or they get it first, instead of passing it down on the right. But we see the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam overlooked Abu Bakr and As-Siddiq, who's the best one in this ummah after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and passed it to the Arabi, or the desert Arab, the Bedouin, and said that we pass to the right, or we pass to the right, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. We should use this as our etiquette to know that it's passed to the right. And it doesn't make a difference who's in that gathering and what their position is or status is, but the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has more right than the cultures of the people. So whenever we're in a gathering, we pass it around to the right. And whoever drinks, drinks. And if it finishes before that, then alhamdulillah, alladhi la ilaha ghayru. In the next chapter, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he brings Babu kirahatu shurbi min thamil qurba wa nahwiha. وبيان أنه كراهة تنزيه لا كراهة تحريم. the chapter that it is discouraged from drinking from the mouth of the pitcher or something like the pitcher, and the clarification that this is discouraged and that it's not haram. And from the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن اختناث الأسقية يعني أن تكسر أفواهها ويشرب منها. And this is collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim. Here Abu Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had prohibited, or as Imam al-Nawawi is showing, discouraged the breaking of the pitchers, here as they explain, to break the mouth of the pitcher and to make it so that you can drink from it. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prohibited the drinking from the pitchers directly. The next hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, also collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يشرب في من في السقاء أو القربة. That the Prophet ﷺ prohibited drinking from the mouth of the pitcher or the container or something like that. The next chapter, Babu Karahatu Nafkhi fi Sharab. And this is the chapter that the brother was hastily asking about. The Prophet ﷺ said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن النفخ في الشراب فقال رجل القذات أراها في الإناء فقال أهرقها قال إني لا أروى من نفس واحد قال فبي قال فأبيني القدح إذن عن فيك. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi. Yes, we'll take hadith number 766, and this is also equivalent to the English translation, and it's from the same chapter on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an yutanaffasa fil ina aw yunfakha fihi. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and this hadith is also authentic, where Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallam prohibited blowing in the containers or breathing in them. This is what you were asking about, Akhi? Oh. The brother was asking, and I thought that this was it, excuse me, of drinking in three gulps. That's what you're saying. If anybody knows of anything, maybe they can bring that forth. The brother is shedding some light, saying in the book Medicine of the Prophet, under the chapter of water, that they have something mentioned on that, and that they can see that there, inshallah.
chapter Babu Bayan Jawaz al-Shurbi Qa'iman wa Bayanu Anna al-Akmal wal-Afdalu al-Shurbu Qa'idan. Chapter, the explanation of the clarification that is permissible to drink while we're standing up, but also to explain and clarify that it's more complete and it's better to drink while we're sitting down. And he brings the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma qal, سقيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من زمزم فشرب وهو قائم. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said that I gave the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم a drink of zamzam and he drank it while he was standing. The next hadith collected by Imam Al-Bukhari on the authority of Nazzal ابن سبرة رضي الله عنه قال أتى علي رضي الله عنه باب الرحبة فشرب قائما وقال إني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فعل كما رأيتموني فعلت. That Ali رضي الله عنه, he was at the door of Rahba and he drank while he was standing up, and he said, indeed I saw the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم do just what you see me doing. On the authority of Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما قال كنا نأكل عن عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن نمشي ونشرب ونحن قيام. Here the Messenger of Allah, here Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنه, and this hadith collected by Tirmidhi says, we used to eat during the time of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم while we were walking, and we used to drink while we were standing up. We used to eat while we were walking, and we used to eat while we were standing up during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next hadith on Amr ibn Shu'ayb an abihi an jaddihi radiyallahu anhu qala ra'aytu rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yashrabu qa'iman wa qa'idan. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, where the grandfather of Amr ibn Shu'ayb, he said that I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drink while he was standing and also while he was sitting. On the next hadith, on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an yashrab ar-rajul qa'iman qala qatada faqulna li Anas fal-aqlu qala thalika ashar aw akhbaf. And this is collected by Imam Muslim, where Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited a man drinking while he was standing, and Qatada asked Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what about eating? And he said, that's worse, or that's something like that, more evil or something like that. And the next hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, collected by Imam Muslim, لا يشربن أحدكم أحد منكم قائما فمن نسي فليستقيع. That none of you, or I prohibit you in the strongest sense, from drinking while you're standing, and whoever forgets and drinks while he's standing, then he should throw his that up what he drunk. And this hadith here and other hadiths that are similar to it bring the difference of opinion among the ulama. Is it permissible to drink while you're standing, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam here in this hadith says that I prohibit you in the strongest terms to drink while you're standing, but if you forget and you drink anyway while you're standing, then to throw it up. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is using a language that will show that in any circumstances it's not permissible for us to drink, and some of the ulama are of that opinion. And Imam al-Nawawi here explained that it's better to drink while you're sitting down, but because the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had drunk while he was standing up, that he didn't want to make the prohibition, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. باب استحباب كون ساقي القوم آخرهم شربا. The chapter of the recommendation that the person who's pouring for the people is the last one to drink himself. And this is from the hadith of Abi Qatada radiallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ساقي القوم آخرهم يعني آخرهم شربا. And this is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that whoever is pouring the drinks for the people, then he should be the last one to drink himself. Let's take the last chapter of Imam al-Nawawi. Babu jawaz shurbi min jami' al-awani al-tahira ghayr al-dhahab wal-fidda wa jawaz al-qar' wa huwa shurbu bil-fami min al-nahri wa ghayrihi بغير إناء ولا يد وتحريم استعمال إناء الذهب والفضة في الشرب والأكل والطهارة وسائر وجوه الاستعمال. Imam al-Nawawi in this chapter says, chapter permissible to drink from all of the vessels or containers that are tahira, are purified, except those made of gold and silver. And the permissibility of drinking straight from the river without using a container or using your hand. And the prohibition of using gold and silver pitchers or jugs or like that when we're drinking or eating or using it for tahara or for any other use. And he brings the hadith of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim. Where he says, حضرت الصلاة فقام من كان قريب الدار إلى أهله وبقي قوم فأوتي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمخضب من حجارة فصغر المخضب أن يبسط فيه كفة فتوضأ القوم كلهم قالوا كم كنتم قال ثمانين وزيادة. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. Where Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the time of Salat came, so those people who were near the house from among the family members, they came out. And then the rest of the people came, and then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was brought a container made out of rocks, but it was small that he couldn't put his hand in it. So all of the people made wudu from this container of water, and they said, "How many people was it?" And he said, "It was about 80 people or more." And this is from among the miracles of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And it just shows that it's permissible to use a container that was made out of rock. And the next hadith, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Uzayd radiallahu anhu, qala atana an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa akhrajna lahu ma'an fi tawrin min sufrin fa tawadda. Let's skip over that hadith and go to the hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, إِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَهَانَا عَنِ الْحَرِيرِ وَالْدِّيبَاجِ وَالشُّرْبِ فِي آنِيَةِ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَقَالَ هِيَ لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ لَكُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. That Hudhayfa said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prohibited us from using silk and dibaj, which is a finer type of silk, and drinking from containers of gold and silver. And this is the end of the chapter, minus a few hadith of the etiquettes of eating from Imam al-Nawawi and his magnificent book Riyadhus Salihin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those people who practice what we preach. وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ.